for today, docket number 365845, People v. Thomas.
May I please the court?
Morning.
My name is Robert Rahman. I've been appointed to represent Barrett Thomas on appeal. I filed the appellant brief. And of course, I know the court's read the briefs. I don't need to rehash it. I'd be more than happy to answer any questions. But I guess I can just start with a brief summary of what my brief is. The main point of the brief is that I don't think Barrett Thomas reported a felony. And that's why it was insufficient for the court to find guilty beyond reasonable doubt that he had reported as a criminal sexual conduct. And the reason for that is because he himself, even when he was clarified with the detective that was interviewing, what do you mean by molestation? He eventually agreed that this was more of a misdemeanor assault and battery, an offensive touching. And what's important is when there was a reference to a violent rape, the second time he was interviewed, the detective didn't go back and clarify that. What do you mean by violent rape? And I say this because I wish there was more evidence of Mr. Thomas' mental history here. I don't really know. I've represented him before, and I would say I do have questions myself, but there's not much evidence here about his mental state. But I think that's important because as evidence, that was not clarified. And so it's used again and again by this court to say, yes, he must have reported a felony. If he had clarified it again, I was confident that Mr. Thomas would have said, agreed again. Well, no, it's not molestation, it's not sexual, it was an assault. It was just meant to offend me. So to respond to the people's comments, People versus Anderson, where they indicated that if you had a penetration if there was a touching of the, I guess, the cleft of the buttocks. I would say that that's factually distinct because that is that was a penis to the cleft of the buttocks. And I think that's important because if we start using that to indicate finger, which is what we're talking about here, a finger in the cleft of the buttocks, we're gonna start blurring the distinction between sexual conduct and sexual penetration. And I think that's important because sexual contact requires some sort of sexual purpose to be proven. Whereas with penetration, I don't believe so. So I think that case is not applicable because this is about a finger and not a penis. And again, I wanna stress the fact that the second time when he made that violent, the second interview, he made that comment about a violent rape. She didn't go back and again, well, remember what we said last time, he agreed it wasn't really sexual molestation. She didn't do that. And it wasn't asked at court. Prior, some of the other errors that I pointed out, prior bad acts, I would point out that there is actually none of these. It was pretty well detailed in the appellee brief, what he did in the jail. I would point out none of that really shows that he's lying, or he was lying to get Mr. The Sergeant Goodrich in trouble. So I guess the point of my point is, how is that relevant to show that he had that motive that he wanted to lie to get him in trouble? Whereas all of his behavior before was just clogging up the toilet. Nothing really to get Sergeant Goodrich in trouble. He was just acting out. So I believe that should have been objected to by his trial attorney because that's presidential. I realize the presidential rule is really directed towards jury trials where we don't know if the juries are going to be able to view that objectively. This is a bench trial, but I would point out that Judge Shipper here, I don't think that he had a very he wanted to give this guy 10 years out of 15 for this false report. There's a history here. in this courtroom, Mr. Thomas and Judge Shipper and even the prosecutors, they've all had a long history. That's really hard to get into that, but I think maybe just hearing about his bad behavior in jail would have prejudiced the judge, just because of that history. The Prison Rape Elimination Act, I think, again, there needs to be a showing that it was in bad faith.
Well, and these claims, I mean, these were well briefed, so we're aware of those. Is there anything new or salient that you want us to really stress with regard to these other issues that, I know I think sufficiency is kind of your main, and then the other acts, but anything with regard to these other claims that you want to stress to us?
There was a comment by the appellate brief I just addressed is saying something that I can't both argue that it's not a felony, but yet also argue he should be protected by the Prison Rape Elimination Act. I mean, the court may not agree with all of my assertions, so I'm trying to get the all assertions I can make.
I think you get to argue what you think is best for your client. I think you get to argue what you think is best for your client.
Correct.
In alternative theories of relief.
I mean, obviously, I believe he didn't report a felony. That's my main contention there.
Right.
And then as far as several other marks, the disproportionate sentence, again, I would point out Judge Shipper wanted to give him 10 years for this.
But he didn't. Didn't he give him 6?
He gave him 6 only because the prosecutor said that. But if you look in the earlier comments, he said, I think 10 is reasonable. And I think,
I've seen plenty of trial judges who have, after the prosecution's asked for a specific sentence, they give higher, and I don't think judges are often shy about imposing, whether it's lower than what the lawyers asked for, or higher, or right on the button. It's, I'm not sure how much currency there is to, he gave him 6, but he really wanted to give him 10. It seems like if he wanted to give him 10, he would have given him 10.
Well, the point of the, when you do a departure sentence, I believe this is brought out in the case law, when you do that, it needs to be incredible. It needs to be justified.
Right. It's an incremental process. It's not just a spitball.
Right. So I think that's what was going on here. He was horrified. He just wanted to give them max. He didn't have the justification for it. And neither did the prosecutor. Even that 26 months that he proposed departure wasn't justified by incredible. Why do we need that? Why is it insufficient? What point do we need it? We need to make that, not just throw up a number here. We need to justify that departure, and that's my argument there. I couldn't pick Judge Shipper's brain why he wanted to come, why he agreed to do 6, but it is in the record. He wanted to do 10. He was only persuaded by the prosecutor.
I think the trial and the appellate bench and bar are all working diligently to figure out exactly what it is that needs to be said and undertaken for a departure, either upward or downward. I think the law is in a state of flux right now. So thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Okay. So other than that, that's my summary of the brief. I appreciate the questions, but any more, I'd be happy to answer any more questions.
You'll have time for rebuttal.
Okay.
Thank you.
Monica Wilson, Assistant Attorney General on behalf of the people.
Morning.
Just a couple of brief points. As it relates to the sufficiency claim, just in response to Mr. Thomas's counsel's argument, digital penetration.
Hold on just a sec. Good.
Okay, I just want to make sure you can hear my argument. Okay. Digital penetration.
He could before we made him take his headphone off, and now he can hear. So please proceed.
Just in response to Mr. Reilman's argument, digital penetration is sufficient under a CSC 1. And under Anderson, the statute says intrusion into the buttocks without necessarily going into the anal cavity is sufficient for a CSC1. And under one of these versions of Mr. Thomas's story, that's what he alleged. I believe in one of his versions, he actually alleged penetration into the cavity. In a different version of the story, he alleged just essentially between the cleft of his buttocks. So under either of those tellings, that constitutes a CSC1. Therefore, what he reported was a felony. And as to the sentencing issue, I will just touch on briefly. Mr. Thomas had 7 prior felonies, 36 misdemeanors, 9 prior probationary sentences, and 23 prior jail sentences prior to this case. Under PRV2, of those 7 felonies, only 4 of them are accounted for, so that leaves 3 that are not accounted for in the guidelines. And for the misdemeanors, 11 of those 36 were scorable. However, PRV5 maxes out, I believe, at 6, so I believe there's 5 that are unaccounted for. And I think one of the most salient points the trial court made is, in a case like this, once a deputy had been accused of sexual assault by an inmate, even though the court found that it was, frankly, a lie, that's going to stay with him. That's going to stay on his record. And I think the guidelines don't account for that. So I think the departure in this case of 26 months, I think, is supported by the record.
What was the top end of the guidelines?
I think the original guidelines topped out at 46.
And it was a 60-month sentence?
Yeah, it was 72 months.
72. So
I do quick math. Yes, that's 6 years. And so I think the trial court explained its reasoning. If you look at, again, what's not accounted for in the guidelines in this case, and I think that trial court sentence was reasonable and proportional to this offense as well as the offender.
Any additional questions?
No, thank you. Thank you to both.
Thank you, judges.
Mr. Riemann, come up. Were you able to hear? Well, why don't you come up real quick? The prosecutor, why don't you come up? So the prosecutor made the point that simple penetration into the cleft of the buttocks is supported by statute and case law. And so that was one point that she made. And the second point she made was with regard to sentencing. In terms of your client has many misdemeanors and several felonies that were not accounted for by the the guidelines. And so do you have any response to those two points?
Well, to the cleft of the buttocks comment, I did comment on People versus Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that shouldn't apply to this case because this is about a finger being the cleft of buttock.
Rather than a penis.
So if we start applying Anderson, which is a penis in that buttock, we'll blur the line between criminal sexual contact or penetration.
Okay.
So I think you'll have a real problem there. Cause then they don't, not only would they be easier to prove that, but they don't have to prove sexual purpose as we would require under sexual contact.
Okay. What about the fact that your client has a pretty extensive criminal record that is not adequately captured by the guidelines?
So I referenced the reason when we do a departure, we need to do it in credmas. We need to justify the extent of that departure. I haven't seen any case law that would suggest how to do that, but I think, you know, when we add points to it and we say, it moves up a certain grid offense level. It should still, in this case, a prior record variable. We should still move in credence of that. So, for example, if he maxed out on a prior record variable. You mentioned 7 misdemeanors or 7 felonies, but I don't remember if he maxed out on it. If he didn't, I guess the proposal would be, well, if you did a departure, you would treat it as additional points for prior record variable and move that far. But does 26 misdemeanors, whatever it was, 7 felonies justify a 26-month departure? I would say not. I think you're looking at a lot lower than that if you do start going above, just because they can't be counted for. And I would also point out, most of the misdemeanors are not scorable for a good reason. We don't want traffic offenses. We don't want, We don't want just property person against a controlled substance, weapons. So there's a good reason why we don't count that. But if the judge wanted to say, well, there's just so much of that, I need to consider it. Well, again, how do we do that in credit? You know, how do we justify that departure?
Okay. No, we appreciate your arguments. Thank you. Any additional questions?
That's helpful. That's I don't know if it's going to apply specifically to this case, but if our court can try to help move that process along, probably be good for everybody. So thank you.
We appreciate you attending and answering our questions. That's been very helpful. Thank you. Thank you. That case is submitted.